The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. A happy marriage is one of the biggest blessings and best experiences human beings can have in this life. God is the creator of the institution of marriage. He did not intend it to be miserable or average or mediocre or just occasionally happy. He designed marriage to be rich and rewarding and full and exciting and interesting and fulfilling, to get better, not worse, with each passing year. That's what he had in mind when he designed the institution of marriage. Now, some marriages are dangerous, we understand that. Abuse and mistreatment are the order of the day in such marriages. Infidelity and unfaithfulness are rampant. We are not advocating that anyone be subjected to that kind of treatment. Counseling and intervention are available to help in such cases. Sometimes calling the police is a very wise thing to do when it gets out of hand. But that's not what we're talking about as we cover this subject here today. What we're talking about is how to make a good marriage better and a happy marriage even happier. And even though it takes two, both husband and wife, if only one follows what we cover today, your marriage will improve. If each partner waits for the other one to get started on the road toward a richer relationship, nothing is ever going to happen. Somebody will need to start the process. Somebody will have to get the wheels turning, and then the momentum will grow from there. We want to concentrate on just one concept about marriage that works every time. That's what we're going to concentrate on and focus on today. And that concept is this: putting Christianity to work in your marriage. Now, many people think practicing Christianity only applies to other facets of life. They seldom think of practicing Christianity applying very, very clearly and very, very effectively in the institution of marriage. But I'll tell you, when you put Christianity in your marriage, it will work magnificently there too. And here's how. I want to turn to a verse over here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Many people know this scripture, or they've heard this principle brought out. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Jesus Christ said, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Of course, that's known as the Golden Rule. Now, the Bible doesn't call it the Golden Rule, but it certainly is a law that works. And it is a law that works in a marriage relationship. If you just think that through and then begin to apply it in your marriage, and if I do that, and I do try to do that in my marriage, the dividends that result are tremendous and wonderful. Notice what it says here. It says, "For this is the law and the prophets." That's how important this principle is. So let's see if we can apply that in our marriage and see how it works in a practical way. Let's start this way. Do you remember when you saw your future mate for the very first time? Do you remember your very first date and subsequent dates afterward? How did you relate to your future wife or to your future husband? Well, I dare say you were at your very best. Let's, for instance, consider the wives. Those of you who are wives, when you first started dating your present husband, you tried to look your best, no doubt. You respected him. You listened. You were warm and complimentary. You made him feel like a king. How do you treat him now? Let's be honest. Remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Remember back when you were in a courtship with your husband. Remember how you thought about him. Remember how you communicated with him. Remember how you appreciated and respected him. Remember how you loved and wanted to learn from him. What about now? Has that all worn off and fallen by the wayside? Has familiarity wiped out that spark and that enthusiasm? Is it all just old hat and going through the motions now? Now, I know it's not true in many, many marriages, this matter of familiarity wiping all of that out. I know it's not true. I have known many, many people who are very happily married. I've had the privilege of knowing people who've been married 50, 60, and 70 years. I remember a couple that was married for 70 years. I sat in their living room, and they sat there happy and respecting one another, holding hands now and again. the spark and the enthusiasm and the respect and the love and the interest. It had grown, not abated, over the years. And they did try to do unto each other according to the golden rule. But what about you? How is it now in your marriage? Has it gone downhill since the first time you met your mate? Has it just leveled out, or has it improved? You know, here's an actual example that I was familiar with several years ago. The wife in this marriage decided that she had let down on several fronts and that she was not showing love and appreciation and kindness toward her husband the way she used to. So one day, while he was at work, she began to prepare a special dinner for him, his favorite meal. She got the house all cleaned up. She set the table with the best linens and silverware. She put candles on the table. She had this gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful meal all set and ready to go. She knew what time he would get home, so she drew his tub of water so he could get cleaned up and then come to dinner. She had the lights turned down a little bit. She had cleaned herself up and dressed very nicely and prepared herself so that when he got home, everything would be special. And so he drove into the driveway and came through the door, and he saw all of these wonderful, special preparations that she had made for this special dinner for him. And you know what his reaction was? Here's his reaction. Who's coming over tonight? That was the question that he asked. Well, her answer was, nobody. I just did this because I love you. And his response was, okay, what's the catch? Now, why would he react like that? The reason he reacted like that is because it had been so long since she had done that for him that he was suspicious. He thought something was up. He wondered what was going on. And she did it for no other reason except she wanted to and because she loved him. And she tried to make something very special for him that particular day. Now, you know, if that had been happening a little more often, he would have loved it and appreciated it and not wondered about it. But because it almost never happened, then it created a problem in his mind. What about our marriages? Now, before they got married and soon after they got married, she did that pretty often for him. But it gradually began to wane, and finally, it almost never was done. And so then when she decided to do that again for him, prepare a special evening, it was out of the ordinary. What about the husbands? Considering this particular verse, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you remember when you first met your wife-to-be? Do you remember the first date? Do you remember the dating and the courtship before you got married? Do you remember the attention you paid to your appearance? What kind of manners did she see in you? You were trying to win her over, right? Do you remember the way you appreciated and respected her? You would probably call her. You would open the door for her. You would pull the chair out for her to sit in. You would compliment her. You would listen to her and honor her. You made her feel like a queen, the most important woman on earth. What is it like now? What about now? What do you treat her like now? What is your relationship with her now regarding respect and putting forth your best foot, so to speak? Has all of that kind of slipped by the wayside and familiarity set in, and no longer are you following the principle of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, but you're simply hobbling along, getting through yet another day, and going through the motions in a mediocre marriage because you're not thinking of your wife very often, and you're not showing the same love that you used to show to her before you got married and soon after you got married. Well, that's what we're trying to cover here today. It reminds me of a joke you might have heard. This husband realized that he had not been appreciating his wife enough and had not been treating her in a special way, so he decided he would change that one day. And he went and bought her some flowers and some chocolates and came home early, walked in the house and gave her the flowers, gave her the chocolates, picked her up and whirled her around and around and said, I love you, I love you, I love you, and set her down in the middle of the living room. And she just started crying and crying and sobbing. And finally, when he got her settled down, he said, what's wrong? What's the matter? Why are you crying? And she said, everything's wrong. I had a horrible day. This is a terrible time. He said, what do you mean? What went wrong? She said, everything's gone wrong. This morning, the kids threw the baseball through the front window. A little while after that, the garbage truck came along and ran over the cat. And then by noon, I came in here to wash dishes, and the sink was overflowing all the way on the floor, and now you have come home drunk. Now, why would she say that? She would say that because he did act like he was going nuts. Bring me flowers, bring me chocolate, tell me he loves me, give me all this attention. You see, that shouldn't have been out of the ordinary. Now, I dare say that husbands, while they were trying to win their wives over and woo their wives and court their wives, would bring flowers, would get chocolates, would take time to listen, would appreciate and compliment their wives-to-be, would tell them that they love them. But you know and I know that all too often in marriages, that all begins to fade away. And after a while, that's almost never done. Now, I am privileged to know of marriages where that is continuing to be done. And it has never faded away. It has continued all the way through year after year, decade after decade, on into advanced age. And here you have a man in his 90s and a woman in her 90s, and they still take walks, they still hold hands, they still smile, they still kiss one another, they still tell each other they love one another. He still gets her gifts and she still makes things for him. In other words, that same kind of love, that same kind of attitude of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is alive and well in that particular marriage and in several other marriages. So you know what? It can be done that way and it should be done that way. Ask yourself, am I taking my wife for granted? Am I leaving her out? Is she stressed out? Have I caught myself raising my voice at her from time to time and pressuring her? Ask yourself, do I take the lead? Do I protect the home? Do I take care of the heavy lifting? Am I a good provider? Or is all of that dumped on her, the wife? I know men who, when things get a little tight or when things get a little embarrassing or when things might get a little tough, they ask their wife to take care of those things. Bill collectors, irate teachers, upset neighbors, etc. Well, no, they should step up and take care of that. The husband should, including helping with the children. Some men never help with the children. They give orders to the wife and then conclude by saying, and it better all turn out right. Well, you know what? That can all change, and the results can all change in marriages that are miserable or that are mediocre or that are just limping along. If we will take the principles in the Bible of Christianity and put them into our marriages in a practical way. Jesus Christ said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Did you know that applies in marriage as well? And I'm not talking about just quoting scripture to one another all the time and trying to convict one another and trying to corner one another and crucify one another. No, that should never be done. I'm talking about studying the Bible enough to see the principles of Christianity, and then without making a big production about it, and without drawing attention to ourselves, simply relate to others, including our wife or including our husband, inside our marriages, according to those Christian principles. And you know what you'll find? You'll find they really do work. You'll also find this concept of putting Christianity in our marriages is found in the Bible, which we're going to get to a little bit later. But right now, let's concentrate a little longer on the principle of the golden rule. If you will apply, quote-unquote, the golden rule, think about, well, how would I have her relate to me and then relate to her that way? Well, what would I want him to do in this situation? And then do that for him. Then all that is now problematic in your marriage will start to turn around, and you will put it on the road toward being solved. Now, these same ideas that we've been talking about here so far can be found in other verses as well. I want to turn to one in particular where it is expressed in a bit of a different way, but it means the same thing. It's over here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Notice what it says here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It's not fancy. It's not stunning. It's not amazing. It's not hard to understand. It's not fraught with all kinds of intellectual heavy lifting or confusion about the Greek or the Hebrew or different spins or interpretations. It's very straightforward. Look what he says here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know that applies in marriage? Now let's be honest. Let's face the facts. You know, when you first met your wife, you liked to give things to her. You wanted to give her time. You wanted to give her respect. You wanted to give her appreciation. You would buy her things. You would show tremendous manners. You would let her know that she's going to be taken care of. You would listen. You would talk. You would relate to her what your day has been like. You would share. And that led to wanting to be married to her, and her wanting to be married to you. And then that probably continued on past the marriage and the honeymoon for a while. But then other pressures began to exact their toll on you and on her and on your marriage. And first thing you know, your attention was pulled off over here, and your time was needed over there, and you were faced with this problem down in front. And so that started occupying your thinking, occupying your conversation, occupying your life, and sapping your energy. And then you would get to her when you could. You would pay her attention when you could make the time. But eventually, over a period of time, all too often, she's just kind of out there, and when it's convenient, she has her husband. In other words, instead of getting the best part of the day, she gets what's left, and sometimes not even that. Now, you might think that this is painting a pretty rough scenario. No, I'm telling you, this is very realistic. This is very accurate. I could just cite example after example where men no longer give their wife the time of day. They'll come home from work, they're tired, they hit the lazy boy, they reach for the beer, they click on the television, and in a half hour they're laying there snoring, and that's all she gets. And the next morning they get up wanting coffee and eggs and bread and stomp out the door and roar off. If you're not that way, I'm not talking to you. But I know many men that way. And they're not giving to their wives what they gave to their fiancés. Well, what you give to your fiancé that led to the marriage ought to continue after the marriage and even increase. And wives, they were attentive, they were interested, they cared for their fiancé, they wanted to know how his day went. They wanted to try to help him with the responsibilities he had. They tried to understand and appreciate and cooperate with him. And then after marriage, that continued for a while. But you know, you've heard the old saying, well, the honeymoon is over now. Do you know it doesn't need to ever be over? The courtship doesn't need to ever end? If we will continue to give to our wives what we gave to them when they were our fiancés, and then increase that and let it mature, the marriage gets better with each passing year because the attitude of give, which is just another way of saying expressing our love toward our mate, that attitude of give, that attitude of doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, is alive and well and growing in the marriage. You do call your wife during the day. You do bring her a card home sometime. You do surprise her and take her out to dinner. It doesn't have to cost $200. Just take her out and have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie and a conversation. You do go for a walk with her. You do ask her for her ideas and for her input. And you do consider her needs. And if she's had a bad day or a good day, or if she's upset or sad or happy, just like you used to before you got married. That's giving. That's applying Christianity in the marriage. That produces the kind of marriage that God intended it to be for you and for her. That's all built into the institution of marriage from Almighty God. But see, when we start leaving Him out of the picture and we start pushing Christianity to the side, we start subtracting from everything that marriage can be because we no longer are living life and being married in the fullest sense the way God intended, based on His principles of Christianity found in His Word. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Certainly does apply totally within a marriage. If you will take time to creatively come up with ways that you can give to your husband, and if you will take time to figure out ideas and ways that you can give to your wife, and then proceed to do it, not in a way that's just phony and hokey, that's not what we're saying, but in a way that you used to, and in the way that you still can, if you will take time to, it's going to be a wonderful experience for you and your mate. And your marriage will come alive, and your marriage will mature, and it'll be better than ever, and it will get better with each passing year. I want to conclude by turning over here to one chapter that makes it clear that the principle of taking Christianity and applying it to our marriages is certainly from the authority of Almighty God Himself. Let's turn over here to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, Paul wrote this passage that we're going to read, but God inspired it. You can prove the Bible is inspired. It's not just the compilation of the writings of men and poems and songs. These are the words of life, and God inspired them, every one. And God inspired Paul to write this about marriage. Look what he says here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now there are people today who want that cut out of the Bible. There are people today who think that is ludicrous and ridiculous and dumb and crazy. They think it's just making women to be subservient to men. It's not true. Men and women, husbands and wives, are partners in a marriage. There's no inferiority or superiority. There's love and appreciation. They work together. They accomplish together. Yes, that's true. Somebody's got to make the final decision. But most of the time, they'll reach that decision together. If not, then the husband is responsible, being the head of the home, to make that decision. And the wife is responsible to go ahead and submit to her husband so that that decision will work out well. And she'll be blessed for doing that. And the marriage will be blessed, and so will the husband. Notice it says here in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I didn't write that. God inspired Paul to write it, but I sure do believe it, and I sure do practice it. And it really does make a difference in a positive way in every marriage where that's followed. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now notice what it says in verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now let's say Jesus Christ only loved the church to the degree that you love your wife. Would the church be well taken care of? You see the principles here? You know what Paul is doing? He's taking the concepts and principles of Christianity and he's relating it right into the core and the heart and the center of every marriage and showing that if you follow these principles of Christianity and you practice these principles in everyday living, it will make all the difference in the world in creating a happy marriage as opposed to an average one or even a miserable one. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Now, what about that principle? What about that Christian concept? What about applying that into your marriage? What about me applying it into my marriage? What about husbands, including me, asking ourselves, do we love our wives as Jesus Christ loves the church? Do we love our wives as much as we loved our fiancés when we were dating them before marriage? You know, we actually ought to love them more because we ought to be growing in love for our wives, respect for our wives, appreciation for our wives, fondness, and tremendous admiration for our wives. I can show you verses in the Bible that says we ought to be rejoicing with our wives. Marriage ought to be happy. Sure, there's some times when it's quiet. There's some times when things have to be worked out. There can be some rough roads here or there that we have to go over and we have to get through the problem together. Of course, it's not always just, you know, Disneyland, so to speak. But I'll tell you, overall, every marriage ought to be very, very happy and getting more so all the time. Every marriage ought to be very good and getting better all the time, and they will if we will apply the principles from the author, from the creator of marriage, Almighty God Himself, and we can find those principles right here in His Word. And then when we use them in our relationship with our mate, we do have happy marriages that are getting happier, and we do have good marriages that are getting better. Not marriages where it's just trouble, and you dread to get home, and you dread for him to get home, and you just put up with one another, and there's silence, or there's fighting and squabbling, or occasionally there's excitement, and occasionally there's escape. But overall, it's kind of not so great the way you thought it would be, and the way you hoped it would be, and quite frankly, the way it should be. A lot of that comes down to what we're reading right here in Ephesians 5. These are laws governing the marriage state. So ought men, verse 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Did you catch that? Nourishes and cherishes it. Those are Christian concepts that ought to be directed toward our wives. We should nourish them and cherish them, and they should know it. We should love them and care for them, and they should know and feel, and without a doubt be convinced that we love them and care for them. And they will if we do. They'll know. The way they'll know we love them is if we really love them. It's unmistakable. Continuing now in verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In other words, they become a family. They put together a home. They begin to be a unit. Just like where they grew up with their father and mother, the wife, the husband, they grew up in a home with their father and mother, or something similar. Now they form a home and hopefully become father and mother, if not, certainly husband and wife. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. That's how important marriage is. It's a wonderful, tremendous, godly blessing. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's total and complete union, and it should be based on love. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence, a better translation is, respects, deeply respects her husband. I want to encourage all of you to think about what we've covered today, and I want to encourage all of you to look into for yourself these principles of Christianity and apply them to marriage. And you will find that if you will do that, you will love the results. You will begin to experience the gold mine that is called marriage, to reach the richness and the joy and the peace and the happiness and the interest and the fun and the fulfillment that God Himself built into the marriage institution. To use an old phrase, you try it and you'll like it. If you would like more information about the family, please request our free CD on The Family That Shares. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just send your request to Enduring Church of God, Post Office Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. You can also call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.